All right, new believers, lunch and learn on Thursday at 12 o'clock. That's for those that are interested in how the church operates, how to become a Christian, to transfer a church membership, want to find out what we're about. Come on Thursday at lunch. And if you can't make it then, Brother Dennis is available anytime. You're welcome. All right, business meeting next Sunday morning after church. WMU on the 3rd, Lucille's house, despite what the bulletin says. Brotherhood, breakfast on the 8th. One announcement from me, cold weather coming in. Protect your pipes. Protect everything, your dog, your cat, your chickens, whatever. It's going to be cold this week. But what my announcement is, if you need anything, I will get to you. I realize this, some of you don't need to get out. Some of us don't need to get out. But I have means to get out. So if you need anything, call me. And I will get it to you, or at least try to help you some way. I'll do that personally. And if I need help, I'll call somebody else. So with that, let's worship. Y'all ready? Oh, yeah, I got to do that too. Prepare your hearts and minds. I get confused. Join with me. Give to the Lord the glory his name deserves. Worship the Lord in his holy splendor. Psalms 29:2. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today just thanking you. And Lord, it's good to hear sounds in your house. Sounds of voices, sounds of happiness, sounds of fellowship. Because we love each other. And Father, it's because of you we love each other. And we're going to worship you like we love you, Lord. And we just ask you to open our hearts and our minds for what you've got for us today. Lead us in what it is, and just let us hear. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Let's stand and sing hymn 20. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord.
Good to be with you this morning. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
We pray for revival, amen?
Yes.
We want to see God at move in our town like we've never seen it before. We want to see hundreds and hundreds of people coming to know Jesus. We want to use our baptistry right here. How about every week? Would that be all right?
Yes.
I may need some help. I'm already getting tired thinking about it. But God is good. It's good indeed. I want to say just thank you so much for my mis hermanos, Brother Jack, Rick, and Bob. They were pruning those trees in the front over there. So we thank you all very much, hermanos. When you see them, please tell them, show them our appreciation. We have some special guests today. Mi hermano Jeff and Sherry Gunger. They live in Forsyth. Not Forsyth County, now Forsyth. Work together, serve together at Georgia Baptist, and they are visiting us today. And so good to have you all. Thank you all so much for being here today. And Pastor Wellness, right? In Pastor Wellness. So is anybody else here for the first time? Anybody else here first time, second time? If this is your first or second time, we'd love for you to fill out one of our care cards. And just love to have information. If you have any prayer requests, just let us know. And let's just continue praising the Lord. Amen.
Our next song is hymn 70. It's kind of a call and echo type song. If you want to sing the first time, please do. If you want to sing the echo, sing that as well. And then the last time that we go through the chorus, we're going to be singing both of them at the same time. So you just pick whether you want the words on this side or the words on this side. We'll see how it goes. All right. Volunteering to sing in the praise team. Yeah. All right, with all the stuff that's going on in the country today with the fires out west and the snow, and if you watch the news, you see lots of cars running into each other while they're trying to drive through the snow. There's just a lot going on that is breaking people's hearts. But in this season, we want to remember that we want the church to shine so that God is glorified through all of this pain that people may be feeling and suffering with today. So let's remember to let that we should shine so that the church shines so that God is glorified. hymn 344. You may be seated.
Kingdoms rise and fall.
right, it's time for children's church. If any children would like to come down and go to the back with Miss Belinda.
So good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord is good. All the time. God is good. He sure is. We continue with our series on the minor prophets today. And this morning we will be in the book of Joel. So I'm going to ask you to please look for the book of Joel, the minor prophets. And we're going to be reading 1 through 12. 1 through 12, chapter 1, 1 through 12, and I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word. The word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Tell your children, tell their children and their children another generation. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust has left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. For it has been cut off from the mouth, and for a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are like the teeth of lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine, and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away, and its branches are made white. Lament like a virgin girdled with a sackcloth, for the husband for her youth, and the grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who ministers to the Lord. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, the new wine is dried up, the oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers, wail, your wine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up, and the fig tree has withered. The pomegranate tree and the palm tree also, and the apple tree, and the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, will you speak to us today? Father, we live in a time, Father, of great disasters. We're in a time, Father, there's wildfires. Father, there's accidents because of snow. Father, we've been through hurricanes that have impacted family and friends. Father, neighboring states. Father, there's been many, many casualties. But what do you mean by all of this? Father, it seems that when we read the scripture, Father, we see that this is not something new. That throughout history, there's always been natural disasters. There's always been things that have happened, Father. There's been a lot of tears. And so, Father, may you speak to us today, Father, as we dive into your word. Father, as we go through the minor prophets, Father, may you begin to stir our hearts and begin to do a work in our lives, Father, so that we can be useful instruments for your glory. Father, we come to you, and Father, we have some of our loved ones and some of our friends are sick and need our prayer, and we need to pray for them. May your house be a house of prayer. Father, may we pray for them. May we continue to pray for Bill, Father, and for Hannah, Father, and Louis, Father, and Janice, Father. Anybody else? Just shout it out. Anybody else you want us to pray for? Joe. Andres. Jason, Father, we lift this to you, Father. You understand and you know the circumstances. And we come to the living God, the all-powerful God, the almighty God. Father, may you, oh Lord, respond, and may we see a miracle in those names that have been called and those who were not called. Father, may we see a miracle in our midst. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst, and we give you all the honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. We continue with the minor prophets. Continue with our series, The Minor Leagues. And today we're going to be talking about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Of course, when we talk about the minor prophets, they're not called minor because they're insignificant or they're smaller than, but rather they're minor because of their brevity. They're smaller in number. There's less verses. It's not like Isaiah or Jeremiah. You read and read and you wonder where you end. But these ones are, you know, Joel is just three chapters. That's all he has, three chapters. Of course, what do we know about Joel? Well, we know very little about him. The only thing that we know is, of course, through studying, we know that his name means the Lord is God. That's what Joel means. There's the name of his dad. I'm going to try to pronounce it. I don't want to be cursing in church today, you know. Sometimes you have some of these names that you find in the Bible, and you, God, yes, God, tell the Lord, you understand, God, you know. So anyway, so the day of the Lord is the theme of the book, and of course, the day of the Lord does not itself designate a time of an event, whether it's present or it's past, present, or future. So it's not a one significant event, but it could be multiple. And so they were going through the day of the Lord. The locusts had come and devoured everything. Apart from what they were going through, there was famine, there was drought. And of course, it's not like here, you know, if you need something, you go to Walmart, you know. If you need something, you go to Dollar General down the street here. But back in their days, they lived completely off the land, completely of what those trees gave. Whatever they produced, that's what they ate. That's what they had. So they were coming to a specific period of time that they were running out of everything. There was complete devastation by the locusts. The locusts had come, and it was there. So the land had been, there was devastation, chewing and swarming and crawling and consuming the locusts. There was nothing, almost pretty much nothing left. The picture of the locusts was to show the devastation that was coming as well. It was not just for them in their time period, but it was also looking ahead of what is coming. And the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. And we need to be reminded that the Lord, that we are not here, and how we've been studying 1 Peter, we are sojourners. We are sojourners. We're just going through. That's what we're here for. For our citizenship is in heaven. That's where it's at. We have a new address. We have 101 Streets of Gold. Praise God. That's what's up there for us. And I'm sure it's not gold 14. You know, it's way up there. The best of the best for God's children. You know, God always has the best for us. He always does. But you know, like we want the best for our children. How many want your best for your children? We all want the best for our children. But you know, God wants the best for his children too. And listen, sometimes we rebel. And sometimes, you know, we go astray. God says that we all go astray. Sooner or later, you know, if you haven't rebelled yet, it's coming. We all rebel against God. We don't do what God wants us to do. You know, sometimes we even have a hard time just coming to church. Sometimes we look for excuses not to come. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, there's a little cloud out there. It's in Hawaii. And you already think that that cloud is going to come through here. And so I'm not going to church next Sunday. Amen. Well, there was a lot of excitement here a little minute ago. So anyway, so the purpose was to emphasize the destruction that was coming by the invading armies. Joel 1:6-8, if you look at the scripture here, it says, "For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of lion, and he has fangs on a fierce lion. So he was coming. Destruction was coming. Destruction had happened. But it was also symbolic of what was to come. It was to come. And there's many, many days of the Lord for many people. There is the day of the Lord for the folks in California. There's the day of the Lord for folks in North Carolina. It's the day of the Lord for folks down in Louisiana. There's the day of the Lord in India. The day of the Lord keeps happening. It keeps happening and it keeps happening. So what does that mean? So the destruction for them, it was for their time, and their destruction was also against for the future. And 2 Peter tells us and reminds us as well, he said, but the day of the Lord, in 2 Peter 3:10, he said, will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and this everything done in it will be laid bare. The day of the Lord is coming. Everything will be destroyed. We got to get ready. We got to be ready. We got to fear. We got to fear the Lord, because God is God. God is love. But God is also a just God. He's also just. Sometimes people just take that side of God, where he's a loving God. He is. Yes, he is. God is love. But sometimes, listen, God is also just. And he must punish sin, for the wages of sin is death. See, so he has to punish sin. He has to deal with us as children, just like we do with our children. When they misbehave, we discipline them. And the same thing happens with us. When we, the children of God, rebel against God and we are disobedient to him, God has to take his spiritual belt. He does it lovingly, but he brings us back so we can walk again in the way that we're supposed to walk. So what does it mean for God's people? This was a warning for sinners among God's people for the danger of trust in traditional religion without a commitment to God and to the way of life. It was a warning for them. It was a warning. It was not just to criticize and to say, well, they deserve it. You know, many times it's easy to point and to accuse and say, yeah, that happened to you because you deserve it. You know, but what does that mean to us? What does it mean to me? I believe sometimes God allows these things to happen to just show us what's happening. You know, as I look at those mansions in California, 15 million, 20 million. Just think about that. Think about that. In one split of a second, the thing is gone. It's in ashes. And sometimes, you know, the material possessions of this world become our God. God doesn't want us to have other idols before him. God is a jealous God. He wants to be number one in our lives. We are God's children. We represent God here on earth. He has given us new life. We have the Spirit of God living in us. Listen, when you go and you make transactions, that should be a godly person making a transaction, because you and I praise the living God. So you need to be a man and a woman of your word, because God only said, there's just two answers here. It's just two answers. He said, let your ye be ye, and your no be no. If you say you're going to come, show up. Don't say, I'm going to show up. I told you about the folks when we live in Tifton. The folks from way across Georgia said, I'm coming. He said, I'm fixing to come. We cleaned the house, cut the grass. I did the weeds. 12 years later. We sold the house, moved to Warner Robins. He still didn't come. See, God doesn't like that. Sometimes the day of the Lord could be just personal. It can be personal. It can be family. It can be as a church. It can be as a city, as a county, as a nation. And God says, you're not walking right. You're my people. I'm your God. You praise me. You talk to me. See, God has not changed. God is still on the throne. He's still holy. And that's why Peter said, you need to walk in holiness because God is holy. That's what we need to do. So what is the hope? What is our hope? What was the hope for those people? What was the hope? Well, first of all, is to turn to God. We need to turn to God. When we see the day of the Lord, we need to come back. We need to turn to God. And I love this passage right here in Joel 2, 12 and 13. It says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. And fasting and weeping and mourning, rend your heart and not your garments. In the midst of the day of the Lord, God wants us to come back to Him. He wants us to come back to Him. Who gave us eternal life? Who has our name written in the book of life? Who was the one who took us from death to life if it's not our God? I belong to Him. You belong to Him. And we need to come back. But we need to come back with a heart. Those folks were experiencing this because they had lived in a tradition. God doesn't want us to live in a tradition. God wants us to talk with Him. Spend time with Him. Cultivate a relationship. Can you imagine if this was a marriage? No hugs. Been married for 30 years. No more hugs. We're just married. I mean, you're just proud that you're going to 31 now. What about the hugs and the love? And what got you to 31? What about going to have some coffee together? How about just listening to each other? Not wandering one side of the house, just waiting for 32 to come. We're going to make it, honey. It's about cultivating a relationship, genuine relationship. It's being there. For each other. Listen, God wants genuine, authentic worship. That's what He wants. It's not just going and coming to church. That's what we should do. But God wants, He wants to hear from you. Listen, I get so much joy when I hear from my children in college. I got one that calls at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock sometime. He's in a studio. He loses track of time. But you know what? It's always a joy to hear from my son. It's a joy. We bring joy to God's heart when we have communion with Him, when we're constantly talking with Him. If you're driving, praise the Lord. If you're driving, talk to the Lord. People may think you're nuts, but it's okay. Don't close your eyes, please. Especially on 96, 8:30 when I'm coming here. We got to nurture that relationship. It's not about checking the box. Oh, I went to church. I gave God an hour. I'm done. When we do that, the day of the Lord is approaching. He's coming. It's coming. He wants genuine, authentic relationship and worship. That's what he wants. Because we are his children. We need to be praying for spiritual relationships, spiritual assignments, spiritual moments. You know, someone said, we, the church, may be the only Bible that people will ever know. That's it. And we gotta be ready. We gotta be, listen, I know we're in football season, I know we're the NFL. All of that is exciting, and listen, we can talk all day about that. But listen, you're a child of God, and you need to be praying for a spiritual moment. Whether you stir the conversation because a football player is a believer, maybe that's the key. But you got to bring the gospel. We have to share the gospel. That's what the body of Christ does. Sometimes the day of the Lord comes because of the traditions, you know. You know, when I was at, and I have shared with some of this, with some of you all about this, when I served at First Vidalia, I was on staff there. I was the Hispanic church planter, and I'll never forget this Sunday. We had like 15 Hispanics that gave their life to Christ. 15! Think about that. And Monday came. And the first thing I'm walking in there so excited, so pumped up. I said, praise God! 15 souls gave their life to Jesus. And the person from maintenance said, you left paper outside. Again. Fifteen people gave their life to Jesus yesterday. I want you to make a sign in Spanish and English and put it right above that trash can. I'm not going to tolerate it. Sometimes God has to send the day of the Lord. Do you know all of this will be gone? Beautiful facility. You heard Peter, what he said? Everything. It's going to melt. He's coming. This is not about the facility. It's about preaching God's word. If it was about the facility, it's so beautiful. People will be lining up. We will be having 4 services every day here because of the beauty of this facility. It's beautiful. But it's not. You know what people need? They need Jesus. Beautiful facility. It's going to come and go. So the Lord says, return to me. You need to come back to me. You need to make it authentic. You need to make it real because I'm real. I'm with you. You need to come back to me because I'm faithful. I'm taking care of you. I'm providing for you. Your refrigerator is full of food, and I'm sending my angels to protect you and the vehicle. I'm being faithful. I'm faithful. That's my nature. Will you be faithful? Will you be faithful to me? What do I need to do? See, God had to send those locusts. In the great words of the theologian, Hermano James, wipe them out. Why did God have to do that? He has to do it with great pain that he has to do that. Because we make a tradition and not a relationship. Traditions are not going to get us into heaven. But relationship with Jesus will. That's what's going to make it. So there's Job. He said, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from descending calamity. So we need to return to God. God would pour out his Holy Spirit. He said that he will pour out his Holy Spirit. That prophecy was fulfilled at the day of Pentecost. It was the promise, the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, Acts 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they appeared from them divided tongues as of fire, and of one set upon them each them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then in 2:17 he says, and it shall come to pass, and this is coming straight out of Joel, and it come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your older men shall dream dreams. That prophecy was fulfilled. God has made a provision. He sent us the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. It's in this place. The Holy Spirit is working on people's lives. The Holy Spirit is at work. He's always at work. He's always at work. So God has made provisions. He's made provisions. It says, and there it is, 2:28, and afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. So that was the fulfillment of the prophecy. But God, what does God desire of us? How do we move away from a tradition? How do we move away from doing it the same way? The same way, the same way. You know, we were in church planting for 20 years, and this is we always heard this. If we keep doing the same thing the same way, we're going to get the same result. I think that's just across the board. If you keep treating your children the same way, the same way, the same way, and they're 18, they want to leave and don't want to come back. We got to change. Sometimes change is necessary. We have to change. I have to change. We got to change. Sometimes we don't have an alternative. We either change or we die. One of the two. We have to change. If we have credit cards, they say, look, I'm about to lose my house, but you just keep using your credit card time after time and don't worry about it. It will happen. Sometimes we got to eat, what is that, noodles, Roman noodles? Amen? And leave the steak for another day. Amen? So what does God decide of us? He wants to be us to be indwelled with the Spirit. You know, Paul, writing to the Roman church, said, whoever does not have the Spirit does not belong to God. The Spirit is here, but it needs to be here in our hearts. You need to have the Spirit of God. How do you know that you have the Spirit? Listen, if you can go to Dollar General and insult the cashier, and tell her all kind of things and go home and sleep well, I don't know that you have the Spirit. Because when you have the Spirit of God, you feel sad when you do something that is not Christ-like. But if you can just go and do and insult somebody and curse and say all kind of things, and then, and you're here, listen, you need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need Him. And the second thing God desires is to be filled with the Spirit. He said, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. That's on us. God gives us the Spirit. We go from death to life. We're born again. But in order for us to be continuously filled, that's between you and me, and it's all up to you and me. And that's it. And in order for us to be filled with the Spirit, we got to have spiritual food. Now, let me tell you what the devil does. Because he happens to be every morning. Every morning, I say, Lord, just wake me up so I can get up and pray. And the first thing on my hand is my cell phone. Temptation. Next thing you know, Lord, I just want to know what the weather's going to be. And I go from the weather to ESPN to see who won the football game last night and how many yards, so such. And then next thing you know, the spiritual moment is gone. Amen? Sometimes you just go and you say, I just need to see how many likes I got from what I posted last night. Amen. What happened with the crowd that was here? I just need to know how what they said. I just need to see if they put thumbs up. And for sure, Lord, I got to read the comments. That's where the action is. The devil just got in your conversation. So you know what I do now? I try to turn that phone off. Go upstairs and pray and turn it off. It's a battle. Because the devil doesn't want you and I to be talking to the Lord of all. He'll do everything. You know why? Because prayer is the most powerful tool that God has given us. If he knows, he said, the devil says, I do anything to stop them from praying. Anything. Because the Lord hears them. And he answers them. If they start praying, they're going to start having miracles down there. Ooh, I don't want that. You got to be in the Word. Listen, we got to be in the Word. We got to stay in the Word. The spirit needs spiritual food. This morning I read Acts 12, 13 coming. Every day, we need spiritual food so we can be filled with the Spirit. Destruction is coming. We have the truth, and we need to share it. This is why we're here. We got to share the gospel. Got a little more braces for you if you need more braces. I had an opportunity to share the gospel with one of those this week. Just share it. You know how long it takes? Maybe a minute or two. It doesn't take long. But the impact is eternal. There's an urgency. We have to reach the lost. This is why we're here. We need to reach the lost. Is everything is to be destroyed, we must change the way we do things. Sometimes we come to this notion that things don't happen. I was visiting a church when I served with Georgia Baptist near Dublin, Georgia. And we were trying to start Hispanic work. And one of the gentlemen said, I've been living in this community for 5 years. I've never seen a Hispanic here. Not in my life. 5 years. We stop at a trailer park. There is a lady, an Anglo lady, raking pine straw. And she said, we rolled down the window and said, ma'am, she said, he introduced himself, I'm the pastor, and I said, this is Brother Dennis from the state convention, and I keep telling him that we don't have any Hispanics in our community around our church. And the lady stopped breaking, and she said, are you kidding me? I'm the only white lady in this whole trailer park. And my husband is from Guatemala. Change. We have to change. People need Jesus. Not just change to change, but we need to change because we need to be in alignment with God so he can do what he's going to do in our community through us. He wants to do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave us an escape plan, and we must accept it and follow it. I will pour my spirit, he says. If you don't know God today, today is the day that you need to know God. Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you think you know God. Do you know God personally? Do you have him? I was thinking about this. When you have God, and when you're walking with God, you could be in the bottom of the ninth, and you could be 3 runs down. All of a sudden, God puts you to home plate, gives you a bat, and says, son, hit it, and you win the game. Home run, load, bases loaded. You know, those who follow Christ, we always win. Always. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, you know who is your children, who are your children. You know them. But if there's anyone here today, Lord, that is in doubt, that they have the promise that Joel gave, that you will pour out your spirit. Father, is there anyone here today that does not know you, Lord? May you bring conviction, and may today be the day of salvation. As the praise team leads us, being born again.
If you'll stand for our hymn of invitation, hymn number 78.
Bob, can you please dismiss us in prayer, please?